I'm Crystal Escobar, and you're listening to the Wanna Be Balanced podcast. This is episode number 144, How to Turn Your Dreams into Reality. Every month on Facebook, I do a live class, and last Thursday was my live class for October, and I am going to go ahead and play the recording for you right now. But if you're interested in downloading the free workbook that I have created to go along with this topic, then check the show notes of this episode and you can go ahead and download the workbook and get started on turning your dreams into reality. In preparation for this call, I have really been pondering a lot of the things that I've been able to manifest into my life thus far. I feel like that is the best place to start. We need to start with the belief that we have the power to direct our life toward the things that we want. And when we look back in our life, we will find all kinds of evidence of how we've actually done that ourselves. So the coolest thing happened last night, I wanted to share, and it's just cool because it really is in line with what I wanted to talk about tonight. So I'm like, oh my God, everything's just so, all these synchronicities is just so exciting for me. So last night I went on a little hike with my daughter, and she's 17. And whenever we're together, we always just like to talk about how I was at 17. Like, she loves it. And I love it. Of course, it's so fun. I get to share all these stories of when I was her age, and she just like eats it up. She would just always wants to hear more and more. So it's just a fun little thing that we bond over. And so last night on our way back from the hike, I was playing some songs that reminded me of when I was her age. I'm like, oh yeah, this reminds me of this boy or this boyfriend I had. And then, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's this one song I want you to hear. It's a really good breakup song. It's a song that one of my boyfriends, after we broke up, sent to me, and it was his way of like expressing himself. And I was just like, oh, what is that song? And I kept thinking, what is it? What is it? And she's like, yeah, what is it? And she like really wanted to hear it. So she was like helping me out while I'm driving. She's like searching up different phrases, different bands, different year. And I just couldn't remember who it was that sang it, what the song was called. I knew the year and then kind of the gist of the message. And so I was just having such a hard time remembering the song. And then at that moment, my son calls me and says, hey, can you stop and get some milk at the store? So I'm like, okay. So I run into the grocery store, and on my way into the grocery store, I'm still like racking my brain. Like, what are the words? What are the words? It's just like one of those things where it's like, now it's bugging you. You want to know, what was the song, you know? And literally I walk in the store and that song was playing. I thought it was the coolest thing because it was like a song that I don't think it was that popular. It was came out in 2000. And what are the odds? You know, like, I just was like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing. And I called my daughter. I'm like, cause she wanted to wait in the car. I'm like, you will not believe what is happening right now. The song is literally playing. And it was just so, so cool. So, anyway, I wanted to share that because it's just one of those cool things that happen in life where it affirms the belief, at least for me, it does, that the power of our minds, you know, and of how we can, you know, receive answers through intention and through asking the universe, and how somehow they come to you in different ways through people, through songs, through, you know, it's just really cool to see these things happen and the alignment of it all and how it just plays out in life. So when those things happen, it's just exciting and reminds me of the power of our minds. And so, you know, when you look at your life right now, how did you get the house that you're living in now? How did you end up in the relationship that you're in right now? And the kids that you have and the job, the profession that you've ended up in, like, how did that all come to be? And in the five questions interviews that I do with some of our ER Shred community members, I always ask them to share some things that they're most proud of. And it's so fun to hear everyone share what they've accomplished. And it's just always awesome things. And it's just like everybody's so diverse, and the things that they've overcome and that they're proud of and that they've accomplished. It's just so cool to see the power that we all have to create the things that we want. And sometimes we're looking so much forward and as far as what we want to accomplish now. And sometimes we get discouraged, but we forget to look back at what we've already created, all the amazing things that started with one little idea. Now look at what you have. You got kids, you got a house, you got a spouse, or, you know, whatever you have. It's just like, it's really mind blowing to remember our own power. And a while back, I created this thing. I called it my like brag board, you know. It's kind of similar to what I'm talking about. This is just for me to refer back to and remind myself of all the things that I've already like accomplished or overcame and things that I'm proud of. And so I like to look at that every so often, and especially if I'm ever discouraged around what I'm trying to create now and feeling like, am I capable? So it's good to remember how capable we are and what we've created already. So, you know, like I said, it always starts with an idea, a thought, or just a burning desire within you. And so I remember when I was about 21 years old, I was hanging out with one of my friends and telling her about my life growing up. It was pretty crazy. lots of outrageous things that I could share and that was just kind of shocking. And I just remember her like sitting there and she's like, wow, you're going to write a book someday. And that one comment sparked a little idea and even a little flame of belief in myself, because I never would have expected anyone to say something like that to me, because I never believed I was smart enough for anything, let alone writing a book. So I always believed that I wasn't very smart. Like, I'd always kind of play the role of the dumb blonde, and, you know, people would make dumb blonde jokes and I just played that ditzy role in part. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not very smart. You know, so I went with it, and I didn't believe I was smart. And then I just kind of made it a joke that, yeah, I'm not very smart. And, you know, growing up, I moved like every 6 months. So constantly changing schools and curriculums, and there's the adjustment period. And so I definitely see how that affected how I was learning, and always felt behind. I was always in the lowest reading group and often had to go to a separate class to get additional help with my schoolwork and my reading. So that kind of just made me believe that I just was not very smart. I just always had that belief for most of my, the first half of my life. At that time too, I was completely unaware of the growth mindset that Carol Dweck so beautifully reveals. I always believed that my genes determined my potential and that I was predestined to fail, because I didn't really have a lot of evidence within my my sphere of much like success. I just believed that I wasn't one of the lucky ones. I wasn't blessed with any special gifts or talents. And we also couldn't afford to put me into any dance classes or sports growing up. So I never really had opportunities to discover if I was even good at anything. So when my friend said this to me, I just went with it. And I started thinking a lot about it. I started imagining it and brainstorming ideas of what I could possibly write about. And about 5 years after that conversation with her was when I started up the Wannabe Balanced blog. And then 10 years into that, I got that book written. And it was just one of my like most proud moments to have created something that I never believed I could do, and to just go from thinking that I wasn't very smart to actually like having a book that I wrote myself. It's just really cool. It's just awesome to see how humans are really the only life form that has the ability to direct or change the course of their life. And, you know, animals operate purely on instinct. And it's cool to know that we do have that power. We have animal instincts as well, but we also have the power to chart our own course. I did a mindset call a while back on time management, and I just really believe that getting good at planning is the key to manifesting the life that you want. And planning to me is just like, I believe it's one of my superpowers, but it's taken me a long time to find the balance. That's hence the name Wannabe Balance, because I I loved planning and scheduling things and structure, but I often would overplan. And so that was my strength turning into a weakness. Our weaknesses, our strengths, overused. So in the beginning of my life, you know, I knew it was like, I loved it, but I always just went too far with it and just overplanning, and it became a weakness. And so my quest was to try to find a good balance between going with the flow, but also using what I feel is like benefiting my life so much, which is planning. So I feel like I've honed in on a good sweet spot when it comes to planning out my life. And I just really believe that planning out my future, you know, is really the key to manifesting what we want. It's almost as if we get to mentally practice the things that we're hoping to create. Have you guys heard of the study where they did with the piano? They had two groups of people who could play the piano, but they were learning this new song, and they had one group practice only in their minds. They never could use their fingers to practice the song, but they only practiced it by visualizing it. And then the other group practiced with their fingers. And surprisingly, they were almost as equally as good. How it's amazing what the imagination, what the mind can do. And so that's how I feel like when I plan out my day or my week or my month or year, it's a way to mentally practice actually doing those things. So I try to get really intricate with how I'm seeing. So I don't just imagine myself 10 years from now. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have this. I'm going to be doing this. I really like to imagine also the steps leading up to it and mentally practice it. So how am I going to get there? Because we don't always know the how. And that's something that, like, I was saying with the song, these questions that we put out there, the next step will be revealed to us as we start working towards it. So we don't always know the how, but sometimes we know certain steps that it takes to get there. And that's where we can start visualizing and do that mental practicing. Okay, I'm going to share my screen now. I have some fun things I want to show you guys. Tonight's topic is transforming our dreams into reality. So, like I was saying about imagination, as Albert Einstein says, is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. Well, I want you guys to think in your mind, what is it that you want? And why do you want it? Or what problems are you hoping to solve? This is one of the questions that I ask in the interviews for the five questions. And I love to hear people describe in full detail what it is that they hope to create within the next 5 to 10 years. I really suggest that people make a habit or a goal to spend at least 5 minutes a day visualizing different things, visualizing your day for tomorrow, visualizing next week, or even just visualizing the 5 or 10 years from now. And, you know, if you think about it, how kids are just so great at imagining things. And it's up to us to rekindle that imagination, that incredible imagination that we once had. We still have it. We still have it. We just need to dig deep down and find it. It's there. We need to rediscover it. But I just remember playing house was one of my favorite things. I loved imagining myself as a mom, giving my babies a bath, doing laundry, and even hanging clothes out to dry. My favorite part about playing Barbies was just decorating the house. And look at this. This is so funny. So a while ago, Sean found this old Barbie house. And so he brought it home for the kids, but he actually brought it for me because I ended up spending more time with this Barbie house than any of the kids ever did. I just went to work decorating it, and it was so much fun. And it just brought me back to how much fun I used to have when I was, you know, playing Barbies and just decorating and setting things up. That was what I really loved about it. So the next question is, do you believe it's possible? Now, I created a workbook for all of you guys to go with this month's topic. And it's a workbook that you can, I put the link in the group. So if you didn't get it, then I'll repost it here with this video so you can find it easily. But it's a journal prompt for each week of the month. And I thought it would be a fun thing that we do all together as a group and work through these different questions and even share them in the group, share some things that you're thinking about or writing about. I just think it would be a fun way to interact around this area of what we're all hoping to create in our lives. So in the workbook, it's going to help spark that belief that my friend was able to do for me. And I don't necessarily think that we need someone else to believe in us. I think that we can find that belief within ourselves. It's nice when we have somebody that believes in us, but we don't always have that. So we just have to understand that we don't, that's not essential. You don't need somebody else to believe in you. Now, I like to think about, what is your strategy? How are you going to plan this out and begin taking action as soon as tomorrow? And you may not know the how, like I said, but as you you can at least brainstorm ideas for the first step, and then you can begin asking yourself and the universe questions and see how these, just like that song, how it was just the question that I put out in the universe and the answer was miraculously revealed to me. And I just see that as something that is possible for all of us as we're trying to find the next step and the next step and following through on those steps. But also be aware of the negative questions. Like, these questions are some that I got really good at throughout my blogging years. It was, I was constantly plagued with self-doubt and discouragement and always asking the universe, why am I not successful yet? Why is this never working for me? Why am I not good enough? All these things that I didn't even realize at the time that I was asking those questions regularly. And now being more aware, I have to notice if those thoughts ever come in and stop in its tracks. Don't allow myself to think that anymore. I'm not asking those questions. I don't allow myself to ask those questions. I can only ask the question of how, what's the next step, and just trust that the next step is going to be revealed. And we need to get really good at removing any negative or stressful charge that we have on our desires. You'll never get what you want with that kind of energy. And just like in the other mindset call I did about beliefs, it's about paying attention to the emotional glasses that you're wearing, because those glasses are only going to show you what is in alignment with that emotion that you're currently feeling. So if you're wearing the glasses of lack or insecurity or jealousy or worry or doubt, then your brain will only show you things in your life that supports that emotion. I heard someone once compare it to the algorithms on social media. And, you know, I love how Instagram knows me so well. It's always showing me the things I love most, like cats and plants and bohemian decor. And it's just a lot of fun, right? And, you know, the brain also has an algorithm, and your emotions are what instructs the brain on what to look for. So it's about writing our ideas through to failure. Get good at failing, get comfortable with failing. Think of it as exposure therapy. If you think about how, you know, certain people have phobias with spiders, like I'm really afraid of spiders. I'm not planning to do exposure therapy with that. There's no need. It's not necessary. But if people are really trying to overcome certain fears, they expose themselves to it often, and that helps them see it as not so scary. And that's the same way we can look at failure and realize it's not so scary. It's not bad. And switching our perspective around what we believe failure even means. And it's really an essential part of the equation, because it translates into knowledge. What did we learn from the failure, and how can we do it differently? How can we tweak our approach? Can you give it another shot using the new information that you now have because of the failure? I love the example of Thomas Edison, how he failed so many times, and how his way of looking at it was, I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways it didn't work. And isn't that cool? Like, he just never gave up. But oftentimes we don't see how many failures it has taken these people before they've actually found what it was that they were looking, or discovered something pretty amazing, or created something. So it's a good reminder that failure is 100% part of the equation. There's no way we're just going to be instant success. So exposure therapy, try to fail and be okay with it. We like to compare the journey to putting together a puzzle. So if we remove the emotional stress from actually putting together the puzzle, it can actually be really enjoyable. People do it for out of enjoyment, and they don't purchase a 5,000 piece puzzle and work on it with the intention of completing it all in one day. It's something that they revisit and actually find a lot of enjoyment out of the process of figuring it out. So thoughts that we can adapt are things like, it's okay that I don't know because I'm committed to figuring it out. It's not simple, but I can do hard things. I will take action until I figure it out. So figuring out is part of the fun. It's the whole purpose of it. They don't, people who are doing puzzles, they don't look at it and say, "Can somebody tell me exactly which piece fits with which piece?" They don't care about a proven technique to complete the puzzle in less than 24 hours. They don't seek a special formula. They just go to work trying to match up the right pieces. And, another cool thing happened the other day. I was, I had this whole class written out, and I had like my bullet points and everything prepared last week for this call. And over the weekend, I was listening to Alan Watts books. Alan Watts, if you're not familiar with him, he's a philosopher from the 60s. In that portion that I was listening to, it was so cool because he was talking about mathematicians, the upper mathematicians like Isaac Newton. He said, they don't care if what they are doing has any practical application. They are working out what they call elegant and beautiful solutions to these puzzles. They can go on and on like that in absorbed meditation. They could spend their whole lives doing it. I just think that's such a beautiful example of how we can be so immersed in the journey and how we're doing it today, and not always be waiting for the result and waiting until we hit this certain goal or this weight or the amount of money until we can allow ourselves to be happy. If we can enjoy it, like mathematicians enjoy creating these elegant puzzles, then that's the key right there. When you ask yourself the question of, can you wait 10 years before you get the result that you're hoping for? And the big question is, can you wait a lifetime? And I think if you've answered yes to those questions, then you are absolutely on the right track. And if you can figure out how to aim for the result without actually needing the result in order to be happy and fulfilled, then you've found the sweet spot. Kids are back in school, and I have been joyously working on my schedule, routines, and all things time management. I'm obsessed. Anyway, I'm now offering a 4-week one-on-one time management coaching package for $111. Isn't that a fun number? I will help you plan out your time in a way that creates more balance, efficiency, and of course, productivity. I really feel like time management is one of my superpowers, and I get so giddy anytime I get to help people in this area. So if you're needing help with your time management, then I'm your gal. All you got to do is schedule a free session with me using my calendar link. I'll put the link in the show notes. There we will discuss more about how I can help you balance your life and your time. In a nutshell, it includes weekly 30-minute one-on-one coaching and planning sessions, weekly to-dos and to-don'ts, as well as a live class where I go into all of my time management tips and answer all of your burning questions about efficiency and productivity, and I will just share my whole process with you.